attempts to redefine marriage in a single state or city could have serious consequences throughout the country.
We left New York at 5 a.m. We're getting on a plane in about 1 hour because tomorrow it's parent day at our kids' school.
Hey, why are you looking at me? Don't you worry about me.
Honey, don't think your mama don't know.
Put your hands down on the keys. Oh, you can put them right where you please.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. The U.S. President bushwhacks the marriage equality movement, but the San Francisco storm makes Rosie and Kelly bloom, and trans rocks Florida's Melodious and an idol debuts in the audiophile. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Rick Watts.
What's News Wrap? A summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending February 28th, 2004.
If we're to prevent the meaning of marriage from being changed forever, our nation must enact a constitutional amendment to protect marriage in America. Today I call upon the Congress to promptly pass and to send to the states for ratification an amendment to our Constitution defining and protecting marriage as the union of a man and woman as husband and wife. The amendment should fully protect marriage while leaving the state legislatures free to make their own choices in defining legal arrangements other than marriage.
Republican U.S. President George W. Bush, in a press conference this week, crossed the line from vague statements regarding a need to preserve the sanctity of marriage to full-on support for barring gay and lesbian marriages by means of a constitutional amendment. In a carefully worded 7.5-minute statement, he said there was a need for clarity in response to confusion caused by the recent ruling for marriage equality by Massachusetts' top court and by the issuing of marriage licenses to what he called applicants of the same gender in San Francisco and Sandoval County, New Mexico. He presented public sentiment against those moves by citing the House and Senate votes for DOMA, the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act, and the enactment of similar legislation in 38 states to date. He noted the possible vulnerability of DOMA to a challenge based on the Constitution's full faith and credit clause requiring states to recognize each other's legal proceedings, always using the term activist judges to describe courts' recognition of equality. He called marriage the most fundamental institution of civilization, claimed repeatedly that those seeking marriage equality were out to change it, and declared that
decisive and democratic action is needed, because attempts to redefine marriage in a single state or city could have serious consequences throughout the country.
He concluded,
America's a free society, which limits the role of government in the lives of our citizens. This commitment of freedom, however, does not require the redefinition of one of our most basic social institutions. Our government should respect every person and protect the institution of marriage. There is no contradiction between these responsibilities. We should also conduct this difficult debate in a manner worthy of our country, without bitterness or anger. In all that lies ahead, let us match strong convictions with kindness and goodwill and decency.
Currently, the U.S. Constitution leaves marriage standards entirely in the hands of the states. There is no reason to believe that the proposed federal marriage amendment that's been introduced in the Congress meets Bush's stated standard of leaving the state legislatures free to make their own choices in defining legal arrangements other than marriage. To the contrary, many believe it would actually void and prohibit all civil unions and domestic partnerships. And while U.S. constitutional amendments require approval by two-thirds of both houses of Congress and then ratification by the legislatures of three-fourths of the states, the president plays no direct role in the process whatsoever.
National gay and lesbian organizations were uniformly outraged, with some activists labeling Bush's announcement a declaration of war. Many accused Bush of violating his 2000 election campaign self-description as a uniter, not a divider. Many applied the term he's often applied to marriage, sacred, to describe the U.S. Constitution, as they demanded it not be sullied by a prescription for discrimination.
Top Democrats echo those sentiments, with U.S. Senator from Massachusetts Ted Kennedy declaring that Bush will go down in history as the first president to try to write discrimination back into the Constitution. But while Democrats clearly oppose a constitutional amendment prohibiting same-gender marriages, they generally offer little support for actually legalizing those marriages, preferring instead to endorse more benefits for gay and lesbian couples under some other name.
Leading Democratic presidential hopeful and U.S. Senator from Massachusetts John Kerry was quick to denounce Bush's announcement as a move to create a wedge issue and as a distraction from more substantive issues such as employment. But Kerry has repeatedly said he does not support same-gender marriages, although he was one of the few senators who voted against DOMA. This week, he clarified that he personally supports amending the Massachusetts state constitution to prohibit them, as long as gay and lesbian couples could also be guaranteed equal legal status. That drew considerable criticism from gay and lesbian organizations. Of course, Massachusetts lawmakers are in the midst of considering such amendments, with their constitutional convention scheduled to resume in mid-March.
In fact, it's widely believed that federal lawmakers will not advance any such measure in 2004, as Republicans are far from united on the issue. Some staunch conservatives are loath to amend the Constitution, while some moderates fear to appear bigoted. House Majority Leader Tom DeLay of Texas declared that he would not take a knee-jerk reaction to the president's announcement and said, "There is no particular reason for haste." Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist of Tennessee is considering scheduling a floor vote for just before the Democratic National Convention in late July. But Senate Democrats believe they have the votes to block the amendment.
2 weeks before the president's announcement, a national meeting of the American Bar Association adopted a resolution opposing the federal marriage amendment. Without either endorsing or opposing same-gender marriages themselves, the largest attorneys group in the U.S. declared that regulation of marriage should be left in the hands of the states.
San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom, the man who ordered county clerks to begin issuing California marriage licenses to gay and lesbian couples shortly before Valentine's Day, lambasted the president for choosing a path that runs counter to our nation's most cherished values of freedom and justice. Newsom said it was clear Bush had promised the religious right to support the amendment well before the San Francisco marriages began.
The Bush administration seems to be retaliating. The San Francisco Chronicle learned at the end of this week that the Social Security Administration issued a nationwide order to reject all requests to change names on Social Security accounts based on marriage licenses issued by San Francisco, and that's regardless of the gender of the parties involved.
But gay and lesbian marriages will continue in San Francisco at least a while longer. As this week ended, California's Democratic Attorney General Bill Lockyer filed a petition with the state Supreme Court, calling on the justices to stop San Francisco from issuing licenses to same-gender couples and to nullify the marriages already performed there. But the state's high court refused to issue an immediate injunction to that effect. Lockyer expressed confidence that the court will rule against the marriages, but in fact, the panel has not yet indicated that it will actually take up his petition. The California Supreme Court, which pioneered legalization of interracial marriages a half century ago, generally prefers that cases be heard first by trial and appellate courts. There are already several cases in progress in lower state courts.
Inspired by San Francisco Mayor Newsom's stand for equality, the Green Party mayor of the New York college town of New Paltz, Jason West, personally began marrying gays and lesbians this week. By the end of the first day, marriages of about 25 same-gender couples had been solemnized, as West puts it, and more than 350 other couples had signed up on a waiting list for the coming week. There is considerable legal opinion that the gender-neutral language of New York state law does not explicitly deny these marriages, although it doesn't specifically allow them either. Disagreeing is Republican Governor George Pataki, who believes it clearly defines marriage as between a man and a woman. The state health department, which manages marriage licensing, asked State Attorney General Elliot Spitzer to intervene to stop New Paltz. But he did not immediately issue an opinion, stating instead that the validity of the marriages and the legality of the mayor's action will be determined in due course in the courts. The Ulster County District Attorney is awaiting a police report before acting on his understanding that one of two laws is being broken. Either a clerk issued marriage licenses outside state guidelines, or West as a public official knowingly married couples without licenses. The clerk's office says it has not been issuing licenses. Instead, the couples received affidavits, but West's attorney maintains the marriages are nonetheless legal for having been solemnized by a public official. West says he's not afraid to be arrested and that he's tried to comply with the law.
And finally, Democratic Congressmember from Washington State, Jim McDermott, this week made a statement on the House floor entitled Codifying Biblical Principles of Marriage. Mr. Speaker, he said, the President's presidential prayer team is urging us to pray for the President as he seeks wisdom on how to legally codify the definition of marriage. Pray that it will be according to biblical principles. With that in mind, I thought I would remind the body of the biblical principles they are talking about. Marriage shall consist of a union between one man and one or more women. That is from Genesis chapter 29, verses 17 to 28. A marriage shall be considered valid only if the wife is a virgin. If the wife is not a virgin, she shall be executed. That is Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 13. And finally, if a married man dies, his brother has to marry his sister-in-law. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 5 to 10.
That's News Wrap for the week ending February 28, 2004. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK, Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Rick Weiss.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
It should be unsaid and understood that this week's musical guests from Manalapan and beyond will be singing I Am A-OK later in the program. Warning that cities might next decide to start issuing licenses for assault weapons or drugs, California's high-profile Republican Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger continued his vocal opposition to San Francisco's same-gender marriages on national television this week. Schwarzenegger further raised the hackles of gay and lesbian activists during his appearance on NBC's Meet the Press with his description of riots, protests, and people clashing at City Hall. The next thing we know, he declared, there are injured or there are dead people, and we don't want to have that. In fact, all that happened was that some two dozen opponents of gay and lesbian marriages tried to block the door to the county clerk's office and were peaceably escorted out of City Hall. There has been no reported violence. On the contrary, the images of hundreds of couples standing in the rain waiting to get married, several with their young children in tow, have put a human face on the queer marriage issue in media coverage around the world. Meanwhile, spurred by President Bush's announced support for a constitutional amendment outlawing same-gender marriages, entertainer and adoptions activist Rosie O'Donnell and her partner, TV executive Kelly Carpenter, flew from their New York home to San Francisco this week to demonstrate their opposition to Bush's proposal. The couple, who together have four children, was married inside Mayor Gavin Newsom's office and then walked down a grand marble staircase in the rotunda to thunderous cheers from hundreds of spectators who had come to applaud the city's first celebrity queer wedding.
I'd just like to say that we didn't really have any comments prepared. We were both inspired to come here after the sitting president said the vile and vicious and hateful comments he did on Tuesday. It inspired myself, my brand new wife, and myself to fly here this morning. We left New York at 5 a.m. We're getting on a plane in about 1 hour because tomorrow it's parent day at our kids' school. Some people asked us where we were going on our honeymoon. With four kids under the age of eight, there will be no honeymoon. But I'd like to thank the city of San Francisco for this amazing... for the amazing stance that the mayor has taken, and for all of the people here who assisted not just us, but the thousands and thousands of other law-abiding, loving American families who want the rights that every other married couple is entitled to. And I thank you all for being here. I just, one thought ran through my mind over and over on the plane as we were flying out here, with liberty and justice for all. Peace.
Hi, I'm Chris Carter. Being the first openly gay government minister in New Zealand is a great privilege. Almost as great as being able to listen to a quality queer radio program like This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine.
2003 was a queer year to remember, and you can keep it alive forever thanks to three very special CDs from This Way Out. Steve Pride recalls the most notable queer-themed offerings on the big and small screen.
Actually contains no sinking ocean liners, no high-speed car chases.
My film is about a few years that I spent pretending to be somebody else before I went to prison.
We're friends of 43 years, and we're lovers of 27 years.
It centers around a gay male couple who are enforcers for the mafia.
You wouldn't even think, you know, 20 years ago, that you would ever would have this many gay and lesbian films.
Our film is about Bayard Rustin, this gay African-American civil rights hero.
This is a queer buddy movie.
It's a social, gender, sexuality, drama comedy.
Why are you hiding in the potting shed?
I wasn't hiding.
It's all about identity. It's all about visibility.
The producers of Audiophile choose their favorite out music.
I want to double my wardrobe. Leave the seat up late at night.
Say a prayer for me, Sarah.
I like a man who is crazy about me.
Ginger's my favorite.
To the wind, to the wind of my soul.
Best darn thing to come down the pike in a good long while. I like Mike.
And there's an audio scrapbook of the biggest queer news stories of 2003.
It says intended bridegroom and intended bride. How are intended spouse and intended spouse?
The Supreme Court says that we matter and we're valuable.
Being gay is not a crime.
To press forward with this consecration will be to turn our backs on Almighty God.
It's not about me, it's about so many other people at the margins.
Finally, all families in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts will have the opportunity to be equal families under the law.
Your collection of all things GLBT won't be complete without these compilations of the year's queer politics and culture. For all the details, log on to thiswayout.org.
Lisa Jackson says it all with music, Brady Earnhardt sings from his sanctuary, and Jim Vararos reveals his true self as we dip into this month's Audiophile.
I think just as an artist, as a musician, I just try to speak through my music and through, you know, that's what I have to say. It's in the songs. When I'm on stage, I'm not there to preach to anyone. I'm more there to just celebrate being different and, what am I saying? As an artist, let my art speak for what it is that I stand for.
I'm not the only one.
Lisa Jackson's first full-length CD is called I Am A-OK. Hi, I'm Christopher David Trentum.
I'm J.D. Doyle, and you're listening to Audiophile. Lisa has described the band's style as somewhere between Elvis Costello and arena rock.
Hey, why are you looking at me? Don't you worry about me. Why are you looking at us? Hey, why are you looking at me? Don't you worry about me. Why are you looking at us? Okay. Father Kyle, pedophile, East Coast, West Nile. Stop the ticket.
Find out more about Lisa Jackson and the album I Am A-OK at www.lisajacksononline.com.
Far enough today, I can't see back to where I started. Tell me I can stay. Bring the days I squandered back to me. Cut me free. Manalapan.
Manalapan is the name of a small town on the southeastern coast of Florida that you could miss easily if you were driving on A1A. But I love it because when I was a kid, I used to go snorkeling there. In the song, it becomes a sort of a spirit friend that I am talking to, a sort of a sanctuary.
Brady Earnhardt's latest CD is called Manalapan.
It weaves together intelligent songwriting and interesting melodies that draw you in to share the experience.
It's been a good autumn, kind of settling down. That'll make a long vacation. Waking up without you around. It's hard enough to see you getting on that plane, but thinking of you home all Christmas, trying not to say my name. Honey, don't think your mama don't know. She's the one that pulled you up from a gleam in her eye to a big ear.
You can learn more about the album Manalapan by Brady Earnhardt at www.bradyearnhardt.com. That's www.bradyearnhardt.com.
Unsaid and Understood is the name of the debut CD by Jim Ferraros.
Put your hands down on the keys. Oh, you can put them right where you please. I'm on the other line feeling good. Now moan to me if you could. Go on, baby, put your hand below. I'm the only one online who knows. Now tell me how it feels. Tell me your name and we'll make a deal. All I am is a cyber trick. All I am is a virtual kick. I'll be everything you want me to be.
Jim has already tasted a bit of success as a finalist on the first season of American Idol, but he has somewhat mixed emotions about that.
American Idol didn't really give me the chance to showcase my true voice, my true self. You know, I didn't have the luxury to actually pick the songs I really wanted to do. You know, I'm capable of much, much more than what you saw on the show. And that's kind of the whole album. The whole album is completely unexpected, and you don't know what I'm going to do next.
I think I'll keep this one unsaid, at least until there's time behind us. Cause now a few things lie ahead. This could be tricky if they find us.
Find find out more about Jim Vararos and his album Unsaid and Understood at www.jimvararos.com. That's www.jimvararos.com.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at Post Office Box 66648, Houston, Texas, 77006. Or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiofile.org.
Audiophile is produced by Christopher David Trenton, J.D. Doyle, and Chris Wilson. I'm Christopher David Trenton.
And I'm J.D. Doyle. Keep listening.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Rick Watts, Graham Underhill, Fensbury, Rex Walkner, and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. Thanks also to Brian Goble. Tiny Tim and the Hits performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. We need you to help keep this program on the air, and you can get some unforgettable thank you gifts in return. For all the details, please log on to thiswayout.org. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on 3BBB Ballarat, Victoria, WSUI, Iowa City, Iowa, KRUX, Las Cruces, New Mexico, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Please do stay tuned.